So, Romans 8, life through the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us.
Well, today, as we come to this point, as has been mentioned, in a few Sundays' time, we're going to be at the church family getaway. And I have to say that Janet and I are really looking forward to that time as a really special encounter for us as a church. And as you've heard today, for those that aren't travelling to Karua for that time, I believe there's going to be a special time for you here at church as well. And I'm actually really pleased that those that are staying here are not going to be gathering here, that it's a different experience for you as well. It's going to be over in the ministry hall there, something a little bit different. And I think it's going to be a special time of fellowship for you there. Well, on that Sunday that we're at Karua or over in the ministry centre is actually been designated as the Baptist Family of Churches as Baptism Sunday. Now, obviously, we highlight the virtues of baptism all the time. We don't have to leave it to a special Sunday. But it's great that we do have a Sunday set aside because it is something that we really value. It's easy to say we value it as a denomination, and that is true, obviously, by our name. You know, we are a Baptist church. But it's not just valuing Baptist because we're part of the denomination. We value it as a church here. And I can tell you, I value it myself and what it's meant for me. So I will never make an apology for promoting baptism. I just know how significant it really is. In Acts 2, we see that the Israelites who heard the message about Jesus, the one who had been crucified, put to death, paid the price of our sins and rose again. When they heard that story, they asked the disciples this simple question. What must we do? And that question hasn't ever changed, has it? That question has always remained the same. Anyone who knows Jesus as Lord and Saviour asks the same question or are pursuing that. They say, what must we do? And of course, the answer is the same. Repent and be baptised, every one of you. So on our getaway, we're going to have two opportunities. On our getaway, the first opportunity we're going to have is for each person who's there, who does know Jesus as Lord and Saviour and has been baptised, we're going to have a bit of an opportunity to share our story. Share just a small segment of our testimony and why it was such a special moment for us. That's an opportunity. The second thing is, if there are people who are there who have not been baptised, then there's a really nice swimming pool there. A really nice swimming pool, and we're going to make sure that the opportunity is available for anyone who would like to be baptised. Either that, or we'll go down to the mangroves and the mud there. One or the other. You can pick which you like, but I would probably err on the side. Actually, somebody else will be baptising you if you choose the mangroves, but I would choose the swimming pool. So the question is, why do we value it so much? I think the first reason, and I think this is the reason that I probably value it more than any other, is that we know beyond all doubt it puts a smile on God's face. It puts a smile on God's face. Do you know that special time when Jesus himself was baptised? And Jesus didn't need to be baptised, but he was. And then we see or we read that there was a voice from heaven, God's voice. This is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Puts a smile on our God's face. And I think that's probably a good enough reason in itself. But secondly, we know that Jesus didn't leave the disciples with a lot of instructions, but he did leave them with this instruction in Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I think there's a third reason as well, and that is it gives us an opportunity to lay down our pride for a moment. Lay down our pride, and we're not kidding ourselves, going and dunking in some water. In some ways doesn't make a lot of sense, but it allows us to lay down our pride and take that basic step of obedience. One of the things I'm often aware of is, you know, we get more wet when we go swimming, don't we? So it's not really, in one breath, that big an issue in that regard. But laying down our pride and simply saying, as a public witness, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I love what the Ethiopian did. There's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? It's as simple as that. It's really simple. And I think all of that then flows, and no pun intended, but all of that then flows into what we call I belong. As a church, it's a phrase we use, the phrase I belong, like the sign on the back wall. Yes, it's really, really similar to membership. We could be calling you today to come and be members of our church, but we have a different phrase that we like to use here. It is still membership. I'm not trying to pretend it's not. But we have a phrase that we use here in the church, and that phrase is, I belong. And the reason that we use it, even though it sounds like membership, it looks like membership, it actually starts from a different base. I don't know whether you've ever had a dark colour tinted in a paint store. It'll often say that you have to use a dark tint or a deep tint. If you use a white tint, you can put, or a white can of paint, you can put as much of that tint in there to try and get the dark colour, and it almost doesn't matter how much tint you put in, you're not going to get it to the colour you want. But if you start with a deep base and you put the right amount of tint in, you get the colour that you're desiring. So for me, the fact that we as a church start with the right base is far more significant for us in regards to membership as a church. You see, our foundation is different. What matters to us is not that we get you to sign on a dotted line. What matters to us is not that, yes, you'll be able to have a say, you'll be able to stand up in a meeting and tell everyone what you think. That's not the base from which we start. What we acknowledge as a church here is that by God's grace and his leading, you've been directed to Morisset Baptist Church. That's where it's all started. You know that. It's where you've been made feel welcome. You've made friends. You enjoy the fellowship. You love to offer your gifts to serve others in the church here. And all of that leads you to one declaration, and that is, this is where I belong. And because of that, you choose to make that formal position of, I belong to Morisset Baptist Church. Now, that can look in different ways. In saying that, we acknowledge that people are on different stages in their journey. There are still some people who are trying to work out what Christianity means to them. And so they're on a different part of their journey, and they're trying to work out where Jesus and salvation fits into their life. And maybe that's your story. Well, I trust that you still feel welcome. You feel as though you belong and supported by this church as you're on that journey of trying to discover what Christianity means for you. There are also people who would declare that they belong, and they are born-again Christians, but have a different perspective on different things to what we value. And one of those may well be baptism by immersion. You may be on a slightly different journey there. I trust that you will still feel as though you belong, but it's slightly different values there. And thirdly, we have what we would refer to as full membership. And that is people who are born-again believers, feel led and directed to Morisset Baptist Church, feel welcome, have friends and enjoy the fellowship, want to serve in the church, and have been chosen to be baptized by full immersion as an instruction from the Bible. So I say all that today because I hope that for everyone who sits here today, there is a desire for you to feel as though you belong. And I trust you actually feel as though you do belong here. And if there's any reason that that's not your experience, then please talk to us, because we would love to work through that so that you know that you have a fellowship here where you can grow and develop in your Christian walk. Belonging matters. And all of that's going to lead us to the passage that we're going to be looking at today, just very quickly today. But I'd like to pray through all of those things I've just talked about. Father, I want to thank you for the fact that we can come and gather in this church. We can enjoy the fellowship here. We enjoy each other's company. And Father, we can feel as though we belong no matter where we are on this journey, whether or not there are people who are still seeking after where Christianity belongs for them, whether there are people who have a different background in their Christian experience. Regardless of all of those things, Father, I pray that there is a sense of belonging, ultimately feeling as though they belong as a part of your kingdom and as part of your fellowship, your family. So now, Father, as we look to Romans 8, would you help us to see how we belong to you? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 8, 14 to 17. We see there in verse 14 some very straightforward words. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We are the children of God. This is arguably, I think, the greatest privilege. It's the greatest gift that we have as Christians, being children of God, accepted into God's family and belonging. I often wonder what people outside the church think goes on in these buildings, what they think this whole Christianity thing is. I wonder whether sometimes they think it's a bit of a self-help program. You know, if you come here, then all of a sudden all the woes of the world will somehow be put right. Or church is seen as a bit of a good luck charm, or it's a bit of a crutch for the weak and the vulnerable, or it's a clever marketing campaign to get your money. We're not doing a very good job at that. We're even not taking up the offering anymore. We've got to work on that one. Yeah, what we actually are doing here is very different, isn't it? The fact that we're here is because God chose us and accepted us. It's as simple as that. He chose us and accepted us. And now we are part of his family. And everything I do now, the way I live, the way I act, is because of what God has done for me through his son Jesus. Now, God's gone to great lengths through his word to over and over and over again emphasize what this is all about. Yet those on the outside and the inside of church still believe that in some ways what we are a part of here is a performance-based institution. Rather than understanding that we're part of a relationship with God, there's this idea that if somehow we don't meet the standard, if somehow we are not as good as we should be, then God will be out to get us. You can rest assured that if we haven't prayed hard enough today, or we haven't sung loud enough, then when we get out that door, God will strike us down. And there's almost this idea that we have to meet a standard, but that's not what the Bible tells us. We have to understand it's not about towing a line, otherwise rejection and discarding will be our story. No, it's not about that. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus. And that word adopted is far more significant than we would possibly imagine. As adopted children, they were held in higher regard than the highest position of any even firstborn child in a family. A child that was adopted had the highest billing in that family. I don't know what the other siblings felt about that. You know, particularly the oldest who thought they had the birthright, and then all of a sudden this adopted kid comes along and has the highest billing. That must have been quite a moment for them. Verse 15, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship. And if you have an NIV version there, you'll see a little C beside adopted into sonship, and it's referring to the Greek word for adoption into sonship. It's a term referring to the full legal standing of adoption made in Roman culture. So how significant was that? Well, I don't know whether you know this or not, but Caesar Augustus, you know, the one who reigned when Jesus was born and tried to do away with Jesus? Well, he was actually born Octavian, and he was an adopted son. He wasn't the rightful heir of Caesar before that. He was actually a nephew, but he was adopted by Caesar Augustus, and therefore he became right to take on leading the Roman Empire because of his adopted state. And Caesar did actually have some kids, had a son, at least one son. So you can imagine how that son felt to be overlooked by this adopted son. Adopted is what we want to be if we want to be really belonging. You'll notice the reference there in this passage is that not having the fear of living as a slave is also referred to there. You see, if you were a regular kid, a regular part of the family, male, female, mind you, a wife for that matter as well, if I had a debt to pay, and I'm thinking I'm really struggling to pay this debt, what you'd do is you'd just hand over a daughter. You say, here, you can use her as a slave until the debt's paid. And you made sure you had lots of kids, so you say, oh, okay, another debt. Actually, I need a new car. Here, have my son, and he'll pay off that debt. And so they would pay off the debt as slaves, and then finally when it's paid off, then you could have your kid back. That's if you wanted them back after all of that. That's if you want a used model, you know, so. But they couldn't do that with an adopted child. You could do it with your own kids, but an adopted child was yours absolutely and could not be placed into slavery. And that's why when we read this passage, it's actually a really significant passage that it talks about the fear of being a slave. You imagine, you look at your mum and dad and you think, gee, they've been in a lot of debt. Yeah, I just wonder when the knock's going to come on the bedroom door. You know, and so the fear of slavery was a very real thing. And so it's very significant that someone is an adopted child. That's what we are. We are adopted sons. And it is significant. I know we often like to play adopted sons and daughters, but an adopted son had the highest position there was. And so even as males, females in this place, we are like adopted sons, the highest place you can be. We see in 1 John 3, 1-2, puts on extra importance here. See what great love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. What an amazing position we hold. So we're children of God, adopted, but it's much more than that. We can actually call God himself Abba Father. It's a far more personal relationship than any other. A lot of other people will refer to God as Creator God, but we call him Abba Father. I think in some ways we need to put this in perspective as well. We don't read a lot in Scripture. You can probably think of some examples, but there's not a lot of examples where there is a relationship between a father and a son that is just really, really special that we read of. You know, it's not kind of the thing that happened in Bible times. Sure, there was, you know, Abraham and Isaac, maybe Jacob and Joseph. Joseph and Benjamin were very special to Jacob. And then, of course, you had the centurion and his daughter. But really, these kind of close relationships were few and far between. And so for Paul to kind of be saying, look around, and if you can look at the very best father-son relationship, the relationship that you will have with God is even closer than that, even more special. You have probably heard it a few times, as I have, that there are some people who would refer to God the Father using the phrase daddy. I can't quite bring myself to use that phrase. It doesn't quite seem respectful enough. But the idea of personal is real. Our relationship with God is not a God who is way out there. Our God is our God. He is a personal God. Now, I don't know whether you're accepting all of this to be true today, whether or not you know all of this to be true. But the good news is, we don't have to believe it with our own head knowledge. You don't have to believe it because I told you so, although it'd be nice if you did, but no, you don't have to believe it because I told you so. What we have recorded here is really significant, and it is this in verse 16, that the Spirit himself is the one who testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How do we know that it's so? The Spirit of God tells us it's true. It can be difficult for us to work out why God, the creator of the universe, would choose and accept us. Why would he pick us? This motley crew that's here today. Why would he pick us? Why would he adopt us? And that's a bit hard to answer, except for the fact that we just know he just did. And we praise God for that. We need to accept the truth. And there we need to understand that God owns everything, all the planets, all that's in creation, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ to that. Everything that is God's becomes ours because we are his adopted children. Verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and we are co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering in order that we may share in his glory. You understand, there's no idea here that somehow we can think, well, I just managed to sneak into heaven. I just managed to sneak into salvation. There happened to be just a little crack in the window and I was able to squeeze through and that's how I got here. It's not like that. There was an open door which we were able to walk through freely. And not only was it just an open door, but it was an open door that said, welcome to us. We were welcomed into that. I think sometimes we almost feel as though we don't deserve this special privilege that we have. I remember a time, being the great son-in-law that I am, I was trying to get my mother-in-law on a plane to go fly from Maryborough back to Sydney. She had just come to visit us. And as we were booking her in, I very cheekily said to the air hostess there as she's booking in, I don't suppose you could get my mother-in-law into first class, could you? And sure enough, she got a first class ticket. Guess who was the favourite son-in-law then, huh? So, got her first class. And as she's sitting on the plane and as she was travelling, the air hostess would come around with all the freebies. And there was a number of times she'd say, now, I didn't buy this ticket. I'm supposed to be back there. And the air hostess said to her, you're sitting in this seat. If you sit in this seat, then you get all the privileges that go with being in first class. And so there is a sense in which we can look at all of our sins, all the things that we've done, all the things that should have excluded us from being saved. But because of Jesus Christ, because he's paid our sins, we're sitting first class, and all the riches of heaven are ours because we are a part of the family. What a great privilege. We belong. We belong because of what Christ has done. As wonderful as belonging to a local church is, what we really rejoice in is belonging to God's family, brothers and sisters with Jesus. truly a position to rejoice in. These are the facts. These are the facts as described in God's word. These are the facts that are confirmed to us by his Spirit. All we need to do is be willing to accept them and know them to be true. Let's pray. Father, we just say, wow, that's amazing. It's amazing that we haven't done anything to deserve this position. We came to you as sinners. We came to you as sinners, as people who were your enemies, and yet you not only have rescued us through Jesus, but you have adopted us as your children, and you have placed us with the highest honour, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we will live in the fullness of that, and we will want to show others that great love that you have shown us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And now for some of the privileges we get from belonging, from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the noon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. So, Heavenly Father, please bless each one of us as we leave here today. Please guide us, teach us, and use us according to your will. May our thoughts, words, and actions be full of love and kindness and honour you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.